What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the boys. I am your host, Nicholas, and my co-host, Aiden Haha. How are you doing, Muffin Head?
I'm doing pretty good, but you're the muffin head.
And let's get this show on the road. So we've been gone for quite a long time, as you people may know. But yeah, I bet you guys were begging for episodes. We're sorry. We had to take a break. We were suffering some burnout. We had a lot of work, and Aiden loves to play with spoons. So, let's get this show on the road, as I said that twice. So today we're just gonna do non-football topics, and then on Super Bowl week we're gonna do one massive Super Bowl episode, just or yeah, to recap a whole NFL season, everything about the NFL. It's gonna be a massive episode, or biggest episode yet. Maybe we'll bring in some special guests, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning. We'll see if they'll come.
I'd rather Peyton.
So,
Eli is kind of trash.
that is not nice. Okay, but let's go to baseball. I'm gonna let Aiden take it off because he has many hot takes. Aiden likes to talk about the hot topics. He loves his hot topic bags. Aiden, send us with baseball.
We're Yankees fans here. We have to talk about all the Yankees moves that have been going on. And the first, it started off with DJ re-signing. Thank God. DJ was needed so much. We signed him back. Deal that I did not expect, but it was a good deal. Didn't have to pay him as much. We had to give him a little bit more years, but I think that's okay. He's one of the best players in baseball right now, so definitely deserved for him. Then the next thing that happened was Corey Kluber. And what do you think about that, Nick? What do you think about that signing?
Corey Kluber signing was a it was a great signing. It was a good signing. It's there's gonna be a lot of question marks around Corey Kluber, his health, how he performs as a pitcher. He's a former for the Indians, the former Indians. But it's gonna be interesting to see how he performs in the Yankees system. Yankees are notorious for bringing over older players that. Older pitchers that have had good past careers. And it's going to be exciting to see what these new starts he's bringing for Corey Kluber. I wish him the best and I hope he performs to the best of his ability. Great to see him come in here and maybe win comeback player of the year if he really gets his act together and really goes out there and is dedicated. What do you think about that, Aiden?
Yeah, health is going to be the main aspect. I think I don't I, when he pitched it, he didn't you kind of see sometimes when say like if somebody gets injured like their pitching before was pretty bad. He didn't pitch horrible when before he got injured last season and the season before. So I think he still is good. He just hasn't been able to show it 'cause he's gotten two injuries in the last 2 years. So I think with the Yankees, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun to watch, and I think he fits in right there. And then the next thing that they did was get Jameson Taillon. Now, I think the trade was good. I don't think we gave up anybody big for him. And I think it was just a trade to get another starting pitcher. The kind of questions, though, what they're gonna do with Clark Schmidt, I feel like, because I think, at least I thought, I don't know if you thought this, Nick, that I thought it was gonna be Gerrit Cole, Devi Garcia, Corey Kluber, Jordan Montgomery, Clark Schmidt. I don't know where Clark Schmidt kind of fits in right now. What do you think about that?
I could see him being used out of the bullpen, but the Jameson Taillon trade was a good trade. Taillon, when he's healthy, he's a very good pitcher. I think he was a number one pitcher for the Pirates for a long time, and the Yankees kind of need that. But another thing is it depends on health. And I think the Yankees made two smart moves here. They got pitchers who are off of injuries, and they're betting on them being healthy and ready to go out there and perform to the best of their ability. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if they can really pay off on these bets, because Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon, when they're healthy, they're really good. But when they're not healthy, they're not playing. So it's going to be interesting. And Clark Schmidt probably is going to go to the bullpen, in my opinion. Maybe a long reliever. Maybe uses an opener a few times. He'll definitely get worked in there, but not as much as he would before the Taillon trade.
Yeah. And so the next thing. Oh, yeah. One thing I just wanted to say before was that Jameson Taillon used to be teammates with Gerrit Cole. So I think that gives a good – now Gerrit Cole has a good person that he knows on the team that he's played with for a long time. So I think that's going to be good. And then I think then probably – I'm going to count this as like both together because it was kind of the same. Adam Ottavino was traded to the Red Sox, which is the first trade to the Red Sox since 2013 by the Yankees. Adam Ottavino had a bad season, and I don't know if you remember, Nick, he, in one of the games when he was going against Tampa Bay, and he had that really bad inning, he said that, basically, that Tampa was sus, which I feel like at that point, if you're blaming stuff not on your own faulty, it's kind of now at a point you might not want that mentality in your bullpen. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting when players call out other teams and things like that. It definitely creates a weird aspect. Sometimes you don't want that around your team. It'll be interesting to see what happens and how it plays out.
Yeah, and since they traded him, they decided to go and sign Darren O'Day, who is pretty old, but a combination of both is really that they traded Adam Ottavino, who was older, and they got another older guy, but Darren O'Day pitched really good in 2020 compared to Adam Ottavino. So I think it was a good trade and then signing. It was for less money. They dumped money off by getting rid of Adam Ottavino. So I think this is going to be a really good this could be very good for the Yankees for their bullpen. What do you think?
Yeah, this would be extremely good for the Yankees if they can pull this off and they can – I think Darren O'Day is a good signing. He's a submarine pitcher, which always is tricky for batters to handle. I think he was a great signing. Trading Adam Ottavino obviously brought a lot of question marks since they basically got nothing. But Adam Ottavino has been pretty poor since he's ever come here. He hasn't had that great of a year or a career in New York. So this is all going to be interesting circumstances. But I expect that Darren O'Day may come out and play very good. Yeah. I think he will.
So that's really it what the Yankees have done, but we're going to talk about the Blue Jays, what they've done. Now, they, in one day, got Ken Giles and – or not Ken Giles, sorry, that's who they used to have. They got Kirby Yates and George Springer. George Springer is a good signing, just I don't really – like, he's good, but I don't see him making a huge impact other than defensively, which they had some issues with last season. But what do you think about that signing?
I think it's a good signing for them. I think the Blue Jays want to contend, and they want to play with the big boys. And do it by signing big boys.
Yeah, the only reason is that George, like, he did play good last season, but that was a 60-game season, and this next season is going to be very impactful to see if all these Astros cheaters are actually who they say they are. And I don't know really if Nick also believes, but I believe that they most likely did probably cheat in 2019 and baseball. Oh yeah, we talked about this already. They most likely cheated in 2019. I think it was mostly Jose Altuve, Carlos Correa, and George Springer. I don't think I really said that much because Alex Bregman seems like a good guy, but he's probably just did it anyway. But I just think in 2017 they all cheated, but then mostly I feel like it was the three of them. But I just want to see. I don't know if he can do good without cheats. He had a good 60-game season in the playoffs, but I don't know. And then Kirby Yates, I think, is a really good signing. He got injured, I believe, right to the at the end of the regular season. Right, Nick?
Yeah, but I'd also like to mention something about, yeah, George. I would also like to say something about George Springer and the cheating. As much as we say all this stuff about, he did get to the top. He got to the major leagues without cheating. So, yes, he cheated while he was in the major leagues, but he got there and he became this exciting ball player without cheating.
Yes, but then you always have to think that he did do it, so like he's not a great person, you know? Like he still did it. He could have been peer pressured into doing it by the coaches or whatever, but just I just don't like, you know, all of them are not, I just don't like them. They had to have some reason why they did it. And the only reason I can think of for at least Jose Altuve, I can't really think of reasons for George Springer because, like you were saying, like George Springer, he did enough to get to the to get to the major leagues. But Jose Altuve, like, I think there's a possibility that he did cheat through his whole career. And I know that's probably really like probably not true, but I think it's really weird that he did bad during the whole regular season except the end. Like, but we'll get to that maybe another time again when the season starts. But we're talking about the Blue Jays. Kirby Yates, good signing. And then they also went out and they thought they had gotten Michael Brantley, but apparently he went to the back to the Astros. Nothing really there to
Yeah, that was a
Yeah,
really
it
weird
was
scenario.
everybody really believed, I guess, the same person, maybe, all of the reporters. So like everybody had said
Yeah.
that he went to the Blue Jays. So like nobody like it was I think it, I don't even think it was a reporter that said that he went to, I think it was Bleacher Report or even the Astros themselves. But definitely a weird situation there. I honestly kind of don't really see how Michael Brantley would even fit into that lineup. I feel like they have a pretty good lineup right now with all the youngsters. Maybe if they got Michael Brantley, they were thinking of trading one of those youngsters for somebody. But speaking of trades, they also traded for Steven Matz from the Mets. What do you think about that?
Steve Matz, he hits home. He's from Long Island, where we're from. But I think it's a good trade. I think it was a decent trade. If they can bring him to his full potential, which I think he has a lot of potential, I think it would be a good trade. They didn't give up too much to get him. And he's not been that impressive, Steven Matz. But I think if they can really bring him to his full potential, it could possibly work out, and it could
Yeah,
work out for the better.
definitely. And then the one real free agency signing that I just want to talk about for a bit is Liam Hendricks. Meh. We didn't get to talk about this. This happened a long time ago, almost I think it was like almost 2 weeks ago or more. But I think it was a great signing. Now the White Sox are just getting better and better. I think they just need to get maybe one more bullpen or one more offensive guy. And they're good. And I think they win because the Twins haven't done much of anything yet. So, what do you think about that signing?
It's a great signing. You know, Liam Hendricks, he's a great player, and it'll definitely bring a lot of help to that bullpen.
Yeah, definitely. So, and then I think we're just gonna go quickly through these next ones. Archie Bradley signed with the Phillies. Good signing. The Phillies get bullpen help that they desperately needed. Alex Wood, I believe he signed with the Giants. I'm pretty sure. And I
Yeah,
think that was
he signed with
good.
the
That was a
Giants.
good signing for him because I think he had a pretty good season in 2020. And I've always thought that he's pretty good. I think he had signed. I think he went back to the Dodgers after having an interseason with the Reds. So that's good for them. Adam Wainwright re-signed to the St. Louis Blues. Oh, I mean, St. Louis Cardinals. That was a confusing one. They said that he signed with the St. Louis Blues. And he's gonna take over for Jordan Binnington. Sorry, Jordan Binnington, you just have to move out of the way.
Yeah.
And then
That was weird. That was just like a weird situation all.
Didi Gregorius re-signed to the Phillies for a good contract, $14 million a year for the next 2 years. I don't know about you,
Sadly.
but I miss Didi. He was from New York, or he was in New York for how many years?
Yeah, me too.
We didn't get to have a full great last season with him.
Bunch of years.
But I'm just glad that he gets a good contract. Nick, would you like to go through the next couple free agents?
Yes, I would like to go through the rest of these free agents. Hap. Let's talk about Mr. Hap. J Hap. We love him. We all know him. We all love him. We all hate him.
Yes, I've expressed
Hey,
that
do you
multiple
ha hate
times.
Hap?
Twins, good luck. He's probably going to pitch a good game for you the whole season and then give you a 7 ERA. Or a 6, I don't know, maybe 6.
Yeah, I mean, he's just been up and down. When he first came to the Yankees in that trade, he was looking up. He was like, okay, maybe this could be a good player that could fill in for us. He looks like he's a quality starter. But to be honest with you, he's kind of just fallen off a cliff. Like, he took a leap of faith and jumped off that cliff, and now he's done. So, it's interesting to see him go to the Twins. I think the Twins too much, they need the help, and he's a okay veteran that could definitely help them, but I think they need to know that eventually that 7 ERA is coming down their pipe.
Yeah.
And what was your opinion about it?
And just basically what I just said, it's a dumb signing. That's all I have to really say. He's not good. And the thing is, it's a replacement for Rich Hill because it doesn't like Rich Hill is how old and
Yeah.
J Happ is how old. So it was kind of more just like what the Yankees did
50.
with Adam Ottavino just for starting pitching. You got a worse guy. Rich Hill was better than him. You should have just re-signed him. So, I don't know. Let's just move on to the next
Here.
one.
All right, so the next one we have JT Realmuto back to the Phillies. I mean, there's always been these talks about JT Realmuto going here, there, everywhere, ever since the trade where he went from the Marlins to the Phillies. I think that it had to happen. I don't see him going anywhere else. Mets fans wanted him. These guys wanted him. But I think it was gonna happen, and I didn't see a scenario with him going anywhere else. Aiden, did you see a scenario with JT
I
Realmuto
think
going anywhere
if
else?
the Padres decided to have all the money in the world, they would sign him because they would move Austin Nola to first base and then Eric Hosmer to DH. But this is only if DH is still in play. We still don't know that, which we will talk about a little bit later. We don't know if DH is going to be in. So if that was it, I think the Padres could sign Realmuto and they would I think they would be as good of a team as the Dodgers. But yeah, I think that, or
yeah,
also
I mean,
the possibility of maybe the Blue Jays, because Danny Jansen isn't that good. He's okay, but he's like not.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling they might get a catcher that maybe will share time with him. So, but yeah, I think it's good signing. He probably didn't have that many people reaching out to him because of money issues, maybe. But yeah, let's talk about Brad Hand next. Brad Hand.
So, Brad Hand, interesting man. He went to the Washington Nationals. Questionable decision. Nationals loading up now. Kyle Schwarber, now Brad Hand. I have two questions for you. What do you think of the signing? And are the Nationals possibly a contender again?
The issue is their division, you know? Their division is so packed. With the Mets getting better, the Phillies really just staying the same, but that could mean they're better because maybe Bryce Harper gets better, JT Realmuto maybe gets better, Rhys Hoskins. But also with just that division is very packed, and who knows who's going to win that. It's going to be interesting to watch that because the Braves are in talks of getting a third baseman. That could be really good. And now there's only two left that they could get. And we'll talk about a little bit later as well. But yeah, I think the Nationals have a pretty good chance. And you said you were going to ask me another question. What was that?
Oh, the other question was, what do you think of the signing for them? They also brought in John Lester. So they're kind of beefing up that rotation. John Lester, Brad Hand, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg. And
yeah,
I
think John Lester is good. He's kind of the same situation as Corey Kluber, older guy that's won Cy Youngs before, or won a Cy Young. Did he win two? I think he only won one, right? Yeah. So
yeah,
I think that was a good signing. And then Brad Hand, he has been. His clutch is an issue. He's not good in high-pressure situations. We saw that against the Yankees. Thank you, Brad Hand, also. I think all Yankees fans need to thank Brad Hand for what he did for us in the playoffs. But I think it's an okay signing. Just I feel like they can't put him at closer. They need to have somebody else at closer.
Yeah.
Maybe sign back Sean Doolittle. From the Cubs, yeah. But Eddie Rosario, he signed with the Indians.
Yes,
or
Eddie
Cleveland
Rosario.
Team. They are a lot of people thought they were rebuilding. I feel like this is kind of a maybe sign that they will kind of still go for it this season. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I think it's an interesting move. I just feel like the Indians, they're doing something right now that I don't know. No one really can figure out what is happening. But 1 year, $8 million to go to the Indians. He's a decent player. He helps out your outfield. I think he's a good quality player to put in. And I think he'll definitely help out the Indians. Maybe make a run for the wild card spot. Probably won't win the division. The White Sox probably run away with that.
Yeah. So let's talk about some trades now. So the trade that happened, I think, a little bit after our last episode was Joe Musgrove, another Pirate, going to the Padres. And when I heard this, I thought almost immediately, the Padres now probably have the best rotation in the whole MLB. I don't think it's a question, unless the Dodgers. Well, which we're actually going to talk about that a little bit later. I won't bring that up. But, man, Joe Musgrove is good. I think it was kind of more he didn't win more games because of the Pirates, you know, like the Pirates just don't have good players, except no, their third baseman, Cabrian Hayes. He seems like a good prospect, but they'll probably end up trading him the first chance that they get. But I think a good trade for the Padres, they had to get rid of Joey Lucchesi, or I forget how you say his name. I think it's Lucchesi, maybe, to the Mets because it was a three-team deal. But it was a good trade. And if Mike Clevinger was healthy, I think Joe Musgrove would go to the bullpen and they would have like six guys that could go long for them that are all really good. So great rotation, great trade. Amazing.
I think the Padres, they're really going for it all, and they'll get it eventually. I think they'll definitely get what they want eventually. So, another question for you, Aiden. What did you think of the Mets being a part of that deal? Was it necessary, or were you like, well, what's the
I
point of this?
think
What
I forget
were
who they gave up. Honestly, I don't remember who they did give up, but I think getting Lucchesi was good. He's younger. He can still do bet. He can still just get better. So I think it was good. And then, like it wasn't like any real thought. It was just like it was probably something where the Pirates were like, we just don't want to have like we want somebody else that they didn't have, so like they involved the Mets maybe. But yeah. So would you like to talk about the Lindor trade?
I mean, that was a blockbuster deal. It was a massive deal. It was huge, similar to the Nolan Arenado trade that we'll bring up in just a second. But it was a massive deal. You know, the Mets gave up. They gave up a lot of their top prospects, a lot of okay prospects. Derek Wolfe, or I think his name was Derek Wolfe. I forget what his name is. They gave him up. They got in return Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco. Carlos Carrasco is an older player. He suffered through a lot. I wish him the best, and I think he'll be an okay starter for them. Nothing great. Maybe like a CC Sabathia role when CC played for the Yankees when he was still around. But and then the sign, the trade for the Mets, they gave up, I forgot to mention, Ahmed Rosario, who now the Indians might even trade Ahmed to someone else. We're not sure. I'm not sure who. We'll let Aiden explain that in a second. But Francisco Lindor, he's a great player. We all know that. I'm not sure about his dedication to the game. He seems a little iffy, but I think he'll come out. I think he'll do okay. I don't think he'll do what everyone thinks he will because it's not the Mets, and the Mets have a long history of wrecking players' careers. But I'm not. I think it was a good move for the Mets, but I don't know if it'll pan out the way they thought it will. And what do you think of the trade? And what do you think about Ahmed Rosario possibly
The trade was
being traded
good.
again?
I think that the Indians got a decent amount for it. I think a lot of people might have thought that Dominic Smith was going to be part of that trade, but I think they like him in left field. The Mets, I'm surprised they got it done without putting him in the trade, but yeah, it was a good trade. And Lindor, I think the next thing we just need to watch out is if Lindor signs extension or not. Because if he doesn't sign an extension, and if he waits to the end of the season, I think he's taking free agency unless they get like to really far in the playoffs. I don't think they can. So that's going to be interesting to see. And then Amed Rosario is being rumored that the Reds really want him. And because they needed a shortstop, I don't even think they have anybody even at that position at all that they could even bring like they have like other positions that like ever other people that main other positions, but that position is just they have nothing. But at shortstop, they need somebody. I think a good fit would actually be Trevor Story if the Rockies are maybe rebuilding. I think Trevor Story would be pretty good there. But it seems like they want a younger guy in Ahmed Rosario. I feel like they'll have to give up a little bit, like a bit, because Ahmed Rosario is, what, 26 years old? That's pretty young. So, I don't know. I hope the if the Indians actually do try, and if the Indians accept a trade deal, it's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy to see how this all plays out. Blockbuster deal for MLB. And now let's bring up another even bigger blockbuster deal. Happened just last night. Nolan Arenado traded to the Cardinals and $50 million. The Rockies really just gave the Cardinals a lot. They gave them everything that they had. I mean, they gave them $50 million, and they gave them Nolan Arenado, their best player. Aiden, what do you think?
The issue is that the Rockies got the Cardinals' ninth best prospect.
But
yeah,
we're not sure
but
yet.
It looks like that way. Because, like, yeah, I guess, though, like, you are, that you're, that's kind of true. Like, they've gotten stuff already wrong this so far this offseason. So I guess that's a chance. But if it is just their top, like if it's just like the ninth best and like all these other guys, I think it's dumb. It's a dumb trade for the Rockies, especially since they had to pay $50 million to get it done. Like it seemed more that the Rockies won this trade done than the Cardinals at this point.
I think that was
just nuts that the Rockies were just like, here's our best player, and then $50 million. And I saw one meme where it was like, it was basically the Rockies saying no for like 2 years straight for all of these prospects for Nolan Arenado, and then the Cardinals saying, hey, give us $50 million, and then the trade's done. And the Rockies say yes, which it's like, was it like that? Was it just like I don't see like if the like there was reports that the Cardinals wanted this trade done for like a couple of years now, so I don't know why it took this long if the Rockies were always intending to trade him because they never put anybody around him, they never signed anybody, like they signed who they signed was it Daniel Murphy, is that who they had on their team? Yeah.
They signed him. He retired. Yeah. He just
not gonna
retired
get,
recently.
Like into that really because he retired. You know, and, like he was good for the Mets. Cool. But like that's the only guy that they have gotten in like the last like 2 years. Like you wonder why the guys probably wanted to leave. So it's yeah. What do you think?
I think it was highway robbery. I think they stole one of the better players in the MLB. So, I'm let's see how it plays out. We'll see what the Rockies get in return. Because there could be something they get in return, but probably not. Now, Aiden, who do you think will the next third baseman to go? Will it be Jose Ramirez? Will it be Chris Bryant? Or will it be some
Gio Urshela? I think the Yankees really like him. And he does seem like he can be a really good third baseman. But I think, like, it depends. Like, this Cleveland team, they seem like they might want to, try for a wild card spot. Like, Eddie Rosario really confused me because I thought they were going to rebuild. It's what the reports were. It sounded like they wanted to trade Jose Ramirez, and they were just going to basically keep their young rotation, and they were going to keep these young guys that they have. But now all of a sudden, they sign this dude who's he's not old, but he's older. So it's like, are they gonna not trade anybody else and sign it? So I think it will be Chris Bryant. I think Chris Bryant is going to be traded to the Braves. I think the Braves, it's gonna be for Austin Riley. And I like Austin Riley as a player, and I think he would be good with the Cubs. So honestly, I would love that trade. Because Austin Riley, I think, can be a very good player. And he's, I feel like, even though maybe he was kind of starting for third base last season, I think he would be good in Cubs uniform. What do you think?
Yeah, he could be. It's gonna be a crazy scenario, and to see how this off season plays out, because this off season already has given us a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of crazy moves. And I know you want to touch on this. I don't know too much about it, so I'll let you go in. What's going on with you, Epstein and
So,
Ken Griffey Jr.?
probably some of the biggest news that has come out over the commissioner's office in the last couple of weeks, Theo Epstein and Ken Griffey Jr. hired to basically be babysitters for Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred has made so many bad mistakes. I am so glad that this has happened. And Theo Epstein, I think, is more in a role of like watching over him, and then Ken Griffey is more like trying to like reach out baseball to more kids because that's kind of been an issue recently with like the game being not fun to watch sometimes because it goes on forever because it's like people think it's boring. So he's kind of like in charge of that. So I think this is amazing. I think baseball could maybe be one of the first sports to go not just one guy that shows that he has all the power over the whole league. Maybe this is a step forward in that we might have something like our own government for sports. I don't know, this kind of that like Theo Epstein, or at least maybe that Theo Epstein could be in a role where he's like, I like, because when he left the Cubs this season, he did not like what was going on with baseball. That, like, I forgot exactly the reason, but he just didn't like how things were being handled by baseball. So now he's looking over Rob Manfred. Hopefully, he's not just like there and like if he says something that he doesn't want Rob Manfred to do, like, he actually takes considerate of it and not just does it no matter what, because I feel like he's that type of guy. But what do you think, Nick? What was that?
I think it's good that now we have a leash on Rob Manfred, and we can control him because he's been going a little crazy lately. And I think some discipline has to be done in Major League Baseball's offices. And I think this is a step forward for baseball, and this will eventually, hopefully, lead to better things in baseball. As a baseball fan, I want to see the better for the game. So yeah. And last thing for baseball we want to talk about today. Hey, now talk to us
So
about the
I was
COVID
talking about
rules.
this a little bit earlier. It seems like the W, or I forgot how it goes. I think it's the BWAA. Do you know, Nick? Basically the
I'm not sure.
thing that looks over for the players has denied the basically the COVID rules. But because Rob Manfred, yeah, MLBPA, sorry,
Oh, the MLBPA.
they because MLB and Rob Manfred in the commissioner's office, apparently Theo Epstein wasn't in charge at that or didn't get a say in it, probably, to propose a deal where it was just the DH and not the double 7 innings. The double 7 innings was why they denied it, and it does not look right now that they're just going to go with the DH, the universal DH. So at this point, it's looking more towards no universal DH, which yet again, I really hope Theo Epstein can do something about it. Maybe Ken Griffey. But what I understood is kind of Ken Griffey is not – is like he's supervising as well Robert Manfred, but he's more just trying to out – like get the – reach the game out to younger people. So I just hope Universal DH comes back. It will help so many teams in it, especially the Braves, and I think the Padres as well. But, you know, what do you think about that?
It's gonna be an interesting season. I think we all know that. But whatever COVID rules there are, I hope we get out there and we can see baseball this year.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think we don't have too much. We don't have anything left for baseball. We're gonna save football for next week on a big Super Bowl show. But let's get to the last main thing that happened other than baseball, and that was the James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets. Major trade. Jared Allen gone off the Nets. He went to the Cavaliers. It was like a 3 or 4 team deal. 4 team deal, I believe. Caris LeVert went to the Pacers. Few other guys from the Nets moved around. The Nets gave away 8 first-round picks to the Rockets. And the Rockets gave the Nets James Harden. And James Harden and the Nets have been, so far, they've been pretty good. I would say that they've had a good little run so far. And the big three over there, Kyrie, Kevin, and James, are dominating. Not really dominating like a crazy rate as we would expect them to, but I think they're dominating pretty good. And I think they're definitely championship contenders. But now the Nets don't have too much depth on their team. They need to really work out something with the bench. I heard them talking, rumors they want some big men. They're interested in Kevin Love and Andre Drummond from the Cavs, but what do they have to give up? Nothing at this point. So the Nets, they're lacking the depth, but minus the depth, they have one of the best teams in the league, and they have one of the best big threes in NBA history. Aiden, yeah, what is your opinion on that?
Kyrie needs to fix himself. That's it. Just...
Yeah, Kyrie's been he disappeared and no one knew where he was, and then
Kyrie just needs to learn a lesson of how about you don't go party with no masks. You know, that's a suggestion from us. But Kevin Durant looks like an MVP so far this season, and James Harden's doing good with the Nets. Doesn't seem like he's getting on anybody's nerves, any reports so far, anything like that. So that's good. But actually, you did say that was going to be your last thing. I would like to talk about one thing really quick. We never got to talk about.
Go ahead.
Poirier versus McGregor. Poirier won.
Poirier dominated. Yeah, I mean, he knocked McGregor on his butt, knocked McGregor out. It was a good fight. I stayed up for it. Dana White is a very interesting man, I learned that day. I learned Dana White's a very interesting fella. But I think it was a great fight. I think the hype was worth it. And I'm happy for Poirier, obviously American. I hope there's a three, though. It won't be probably this year, probably a year or two down the line. But I really hope there's a three so we can really decide who is the better of the fighter. And I think Poirier might be the better of the fighter. But then after that fight, Jake Paul threw out the $50 million offer to fight on April 17th. Now Jake Paul is fighting Ben Askren, UFC and MMA legend Ben Askren, who cannot strike for his life. He can't punch a human being. His life depended on it. So I think Jake Paul has a chance in that one. And then Khabib, I can't pronounce his last name. He's the Russian fighter, undefeated. He retired after the passing of his dad. Promised his mom he won't fight in the UFC again. He is the champion of the of Conor McGregor's division, and he said he's levels above these guys. And he what this is kind of saying is Khabib will probably not fight anybody for his title anytime soon, because he's saying that he's significantly better than any of these guys. Ian, what's your take on
this? I actually hadn't heard about that. Sorry for Khabib, but wow. I think right now Conor McGregor couldn't do anything to probably beat him because he already lost to him once. Poirier, I think he probably wouldn't accept the fight from him, which if that's true, like he's not gonna do anything for a while. Poirier would need to stay consistent, I think, for him to fight him. But yeah, I don't really know much about UFC. I know just more about Conor McGregor, and I knew a tiny bit about this fight. But I think Poirier is probably like the best chance of maybe eventually fighting him.
Yeah, Conor McGregor said he'd want to stay active this year, so it'll be interesting to see how many fights he has. Probably two or three if he really wants to stay active. But Conor McGregor, he'll always be a legend, but there's a point where how long does Conor McGregor have until his reputation is destroyed as a great fighter? Because right now his reputation, it's going down. I mean, people don't think of him as the great fighter anymore. But I mean, they still think of him as a great fighter. But eventually, something's gonna happen if he keeps losing. He's lost two out of the last three fights. So I don't know. And how long do you think it is until we can say we can say Conor McGregor is not a good fighter, or not a good fighter, but just not all
I think
time
he's gonna fight another person. If he wins, good for him. I think it kind of shuts that out a little bit. It needs to be a good fighter though. It can't be like some nobody. But if he loses, and I think if he loses, he needs to take the Jake Paul fight. I think that's a no doubt, because if he, like you were saying, he has two or three. If he has two, he takes the one maybe in June-ish, May, July, and then he takes another one in November. If he loses the one in June, then I think he takes a fight in November or October against Jake Paul, because it's not matching up too much, because Jake Paul has a fight in April and might fight again like around August, but it could. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I think anything's possible right now. But I think Conor gets desperate,
because he might think it might be an easy fight for him, like to regain his. He knows it'll be. I mean, he'll know it's a big audience, so maybe it's just like to get. He thinks it's gonna be an easy win and just to regain his like legacy, I guess. But I don't know if it's gonna be an easy win, you know.
Yeah, he's a good fighter. So I think that's all we have for today. Thank you all for tuning in. We're sorry for the long break we took. We kind of needed it, kind of refresh. I want to start from the beginning. And we're back. We're back to stay. So hope you all have a good day, and good luck, guys.
Bye.
Bye.